Well, Matt, hey, man, it's good to be here with you today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm excited for this series that we're jumping into. The series is titled Family Matters, and it's practical ways to love your family well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's needed.
It is needed.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I feel like it's so needed, especially for our community, even if you just look around on a Sunday morning, we have so many emerging families, young families.
Young families, yeah.
And blended families. I mean, all of us, I feel like, to some extent, are broken families.
Right.
So
I'm glad you had that caveat. That's
yes, good. Yeah. It's true. And so I think God cares deeply for the family unit. And I think there's a lot that we can learn when it comes to loving our family well. And so I wanted to sit down with you today, and I just wanted to talk practically, because one of the things that you and I talked about is we want people who are finished listening to this episode to be able to walk away with very practical examples that they could implement tonight on how to love their family well.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and so I wanted to just be able to share your heart and talk about things that recently you've been implementing in your family in ways that you're loving your family well.
Yeah, you know, my first knee jerk when we had this conversation that we were gonna talk is, oh man, I don't want anyone to think I've got this whole family thing figured out, because I am so in progress and in process. And I think it's funny that we learn how to interact with our families. It's a combination of our families of origin, the good and the bad of those, right? Because there's always both.
Yeah.
And then kind of how we've done so far, the good and the bad, right? So, and what we see in other people. And that's maybe what this will be for people, will be some other ideas, just some new ideas, fresh ideas. Who says you can't be creative when it comes to how you love your family? And implementing creative things, intentional things, I think could be, if a relationship, let's back up for a second, if a relationship can hit a rut, and we know it can, we've all been there, don't you think our relationships with our family can too?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same kind of principle. You're living and doing life with these people. Even if they're like, as my kids, like they have a lot of my personality, they're half mine kind of thing, but they're still individuals. And so they have individual needs on top of the parts of myself I see in them kind of thing. So it's learning. I think my key word, and I told you this a few times, is intentional.
Yeah.
Like, how can you just be more intentional? I think it starts with your spouse, and then it expands to your kids.
Yeah.
And you have a bit of a ticking timer when it comes to your kids. And it's not to be a Debbie Downer at the very beginning of this thing, but you, I mean, in a sense, I had this moment where my wife was pregnant with our first daughter, and I was sitting on the back porch of our condo, and I was like, kind of having this moment with God where I'm like, no, God, can't do it. I'm gonna break her. It's not gonna work. I'm gonna fail. Like, having this panic. And this moment, I thought of Hannah in the Old Testament, and praying for a son, and then giving that son back to the Lord kind of thing. And so I had almost a moment like that where I'm like, all right, God, this child's yours. And I am just entrusted with raising her. That's all that is. And so we're a steward of our children, you know, to give back to God. And I think that takes, for me, it takes a little pressure off. And then it also gives me a proper perspective of what my goals should be in raising my child.
It's so cool and unique how it takes the pressure off, but it still leaves this beautiful sense of responsibility in the stewardship aspect. But you're right. It's like, this is God's child at the end of the day, even more so than my child. And so it removes that pressure, because you know God is good and he's sovereign and he's got us. He's always working all things out for our good. But we do have a responsibility.
Yeah.
We do. And we know that, even from, like you talked about, there's good examples and bad examples that all of us have when it comes to our family of origin, right? And maybe we can mitigate some of the bad if we choose to take more responsibility. And I think, like you said, that first step of taking responsibility is choosing to be intentional. It's choosing to be intentional. And I think, Matt, even for myself with my family of origin, it's funny, because I'll look at Dre and her siblings, and then I'll look at her mom and dad, And I love just watching them and seeing the resemblances from mom, from dad in them.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of that growing up because my dad was never around. So I don't take that stuff for granted. Mm. And it's easy, I think, when we grow up in that to take it for granted. So then we lack the intention that our family deserves.
That's cool.
You know?
And I think the fact that you didn't, like my, people used to say back in the day when you had a landline, I would answer the phone when someone called our house, and people would say, I answer the phone just like my dad, right? That I sounded just like my dad.
Yeah.
I could have fun with it. I could talk with my mom for almost a full minute before she realized I wasn't her husband,
that's
right?
Funny.
When I was a high schooler. But one of the things that you said that, you know, your story that you didn't have that kind of got to see parts of your parents in you, but you will with your child.
That's right.
And that's going to be something special for you.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really cool.
Yeah. I think my heart just leapt a little bit with some joy, man. Yeah,
it's good.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
That's really neat.
So speaking of just, I think our theme for this episode sounds like it's going to be intention. I want you to talk about some ways that you've been intentional with your family recently, like where you've been.
Yeah. Well, I'll back up a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
When COVID hit and we were all, you know, indoors and quarantining with our family, I remember having this thought, this is either going to be great for families or really bad for families. And I think that was probably true, 50-50 there, you know? And but for me, I'm like, I'm not going to miss this opportunity to be more intentional. That was one of the things I thought of. And so from helping the kids figure out online school. And but then the thing was our nightly walk. That became where I poured in intention with Rachel. And I used to always, you know, half the time be too tired, go on your own.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to fight that for a while. But then I decided, no, I think this is... this is not just our time to connect, but this is our time to grow. And I think both pieces are key. And so I started using it because I was still doing stuff for the church. We were doing recordings for all our ministries. So I was writing a talk every week for Grove Counseling because we weren't able to use the copyrighted CR material online. So I was writing all these new talks. And so I would say them to her and process them with her. And it became this, probably some of the best talks I've ever written because I had her perspective bouncing back at me, right?
Yeah.
So that intention was super, super cool. And then just processing the fear that was in the world at that time with her.
With her,
it was so important, right? And so recently we had, she got a job, got a full-time job. So I knew in doing that, it was going to change our family dynamic. And change is good or bad. Change has an effect on everybody.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I've learned along the way. And so I'm like, well, I can either just let the change happen and see what, you know, what stirs up from this, or as the change is occurring, lean in to these people that God has entrusted me, these three daughters of mine and my wife. And so I had this moment, it was partially processing with my CR guys and stuff like that, but I'm like, you know what? I had this idea and I was gonna write, and my wife had 1 week where she had to drive into Phoenix and be there 8 to 5 and just these long, long days for her, going from full-time mom and to full-time worker and mom and wife and all that.
Yeah.
And so she had these long car rides and then, you know, this long day at work. So I'm going to write her a note. And I'm going to write her a note every single day for her 5 days of training. So I said it out loud so someone would hold me accountable. I wrote her first note. I sent it off with her Monday, right? And so that afternoon, I'm writing Tuesday's note. And my middle daughter, Katie, comes up to me and she's watching me write the note. And she's looking at me and she's like, you never write me a note. And it was instantly, I felt like halfway attacked, halfway like.
You're like, I want to defend myself here,
I'm like, that's not true. I've written you a note 3 years ago. Like, you know what I mean? And I realized, wow, she's kind of right. And I didn't, at that moment, it didn't really hit home. I was just kind of like, okay. And so I went to CR and I'm doing my, you know, my evening stuff here at the Grove. And after that time, it flashed in my mind, I need to write all of them a note every single day. And so I went to Target, I bought like these giant Post-it notes, and I wrote three notes that night in addition to the one I'd already written, and I stuck it in their lunch bags. And my littlest one's in kinder, I can't quite read yet, so I drew her a picture. Lucky for her, I can't draw. It's funny.
That's awesome.
And so I open up Katie's lunch bag, and she had written herself a note and put it on her sandwich, and it said, "Hey, Katie, I hope you're having a great day."
Oh, from Katie. Goodness.
And it was this moment of, like, it was really cute, it was really sweet, and I felt called out in that moment. She's like, "Dad, you're not going to write me a note? I'm going to write me a note."
Yeah.
And I think that is, like, the thing that has affected me the most over these last few weeks is realizing they are screaming for our attention.
They are.
And that's not like, oh, you're just one attention. Sometimes it's negative attention.
Yeah.
But our children are who God's placed in our lives for us to give our attention.
Yeah.
To pour into.
Totally.
To steward, you know? And so they've gotten a note in their lunch every day since. It's been over a week since then. After that first week, my wife's now at home working. And so her notes have gotten much shorter because I realized she didn't have a lot of time to read these lengthy novels I was writing her. So I just decided to pivot on that a little bit too. But for me, I guess the discipline is, and the challenge for everyone listening, is you don't have to do exactly that. But that was my thing on my heart. I need to do something intentional to reach them. And I wanted to share just a quick verse with you.
Yeah.
This prayer the Jewish people would read every single day called the Shema. They would wake up, they would say this. And the first part says, "Hear, Israel." Sorry, that's the wrong verse. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then it goes on to say that it's our responsibility to tell these things to our families. And it says this: "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And so, you know, as you wake up and you go to bed, for me, you know, "Good morning, how are you?" Those kind of moments, those are key moments for discipleship in our home, of us sharing Jesus with our kids.
Yeah.
And then when they lay down, that's the tuck-in moments. And I've often thought of this and realized that those 20 minutes at the end of their day are the most important moments of their entire day. Mm. They want to talk. They always, without fail, "Daddy, will you tuck me in?"
Yeah.
You know, the 13-year-old baby doesn't say that anymore, but she still likes it when I pop in and say goodnight, right? But the other two, "Are you going to come read with me? Are you going to come pray with me?" We have a night-night song, so she always wants her night-night song, right? So those 20 minutes of intention at the end of the day are so key. And then as you walk along the road, we don't maybe walk to places anymore, but we do ride in the car.
Yeah.
And so if you've got one-on-one time with one of your kids in the car, turn the radio down. Mm. You know, make the phone call later.
Yeah.
Talk to them.
Yes.
Ask them about their day.
Yeah.
At dinner, when if your family has family dinners, it's a little rare thing with schedules and stuff, but find those moments and ask them about their day.
Right.
Highs and lows, not just the good stuff. I mean, you want to know the good stuff, but what's like you always ask us in here, what's breaking your heart right now? Like,
yeah.
It's a good question to ask your kids, too.
Yeah. You know? I think, too, if you have multiple kids, part of that intention piece is, maybe instead of going to do a grocery store run by yourself because it's easy for you to get some rest and check out, pick one kid each time that you can be intentional with, you know?
That's a good one.
And man, you brought up something extremely powerful, and I think that you're lucky, you're fortunate with your daughters.
True.
I think especially our kids, they're longing for kind of these love letters, right? You said it. We all long for attention. We do. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to know we're valued. Mm-hmm. What I think is so crazy is that she was willing to do that for herself. And if we're not going to do it, they are going to look for it somewhere.
Elsewhere, yeah.
Yes. And I think you have... her specifically, she's secure in who she is. Like, she's like, "I'll write myself a letter then." Mm-hmm. That's confidence, man.
Yeah, it wasn't begrudging.
No.
There was no in parentheses because your dad doesn't care.
Right.
There's none of that.
And
she's just, "I'm going to take care of this need."
Point being, like you said, if we aren't doing that, they're going to look for that elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's important. And there's two things that I really heard you say that you're intentional with that I just want to reiterate for everybody listening. If you don't have one set time a week where you get to process with your spouse, to get that time to grow with your spouse. That I think is your starting place. Because for you, you said your evening walks.
Yeah.
So I think everybody needs to start there, and we need to take an inventory check, and we need to say, hey, where is our time at? Where it's just us, we're honest with each other, we're connecting, and we're growing. And then after that, it's like, based off of your family dynamics, how can you be intentional with your kids?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and that's where the creativity comes in. Like, how can you do something creative with them? For me, it was writing a note, because I've always secretly loved to write.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was telling you earlier, I found out a few days in, man, I'm running out of things to say. And so I wrote a poem one day. I drew like a picture, but then a riddle, and like I'm just trying to think of different ways to engage them. I read a book on parenting years ago, and one of the guys said is come up with like a family like vision statement together, or even like a family like. Design a family crest or well, things like that you can do. Another really creative thing he would say is like pray a blessing over each of your kids' bedroom every night. They don't even have to know you're doing that. Just do that. Get in the practice of silently before you go to your bed, say a prayer, a blessing over each of your children before you go to your bed kind of thing. I thought that was a really powerful one too. Yeah. Something tangible that we could do. And yeah, I mean, write them a letter, send them an audio message, text them at a certain time every day throughout your day. There's a lot you can do with your spouse too. Very similar things. Yeah. That intention. You're right. And you were talking about date night a few weeks ago in a sermon. And I guess for that hits me. I go right to the, well, I wish I could go on a date night, right? Yeah. And I go to what I can't do because of schedule, money, whatever, right? But I think your point's great. Who says a date night isn't just a walk with your wife?
Exactly.
Or like a morning coffee on Saturday.
Yes.
There are couples at the Grove for years. I would hear stories about how every Saturday morning they would go on a coffee date, or they would go on a long hike, or you know, these kind of things are really, really cool. And the thing I love about those dates is they're dates that require talking. So going to the movies, though I love the movies,
right.
If the only time you spend with your wife is you're watching a movie and being quiet for an hour and a half, I mean, you could still have some great conversations on the way in and the way out.
Right.
But you know what I mean? So just even intentional about what you choose,
yeah,
I think would be really, really key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, man. I'm inspired getting ready to be a dad myself, so I take all of this to heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just wanted to thank you, Matt. I think that is going to be very beneficial to everybody listening, and it's practical things to help us love our family well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you, man, for sharing that.
Awesome.
Yeah, always grateful for you.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thank you.